the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We're back.
Woohoo!
It's been like, just feels like 5 years since we've recorded something. In reality, it's been 8 or 9, maybe 10 weeks.
Maybe 10, yeah.
But thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. We like to record this once a week, and people are like, liars. We like to record this once a year. That's true. We never said we did. We would like to. In an ideal world, we would record this once a week. But if you're just tuning in for the first time, we do usually record once a week. And this podcast is just really about anything and everything. Didn't we count 70 podcasts or something like that? Which is pretty good. I think you get an award when you get to 100. But we talk about faith and life and the Bible and Christianity and what it looks like to actually follow Jesus. And we've answered some Hot Seat Sunday questions, some Skeptics Forum questions, just kind of whatever comes up. We've had guests. We've had my dad on. Yeah. We've had my friend Tim on. We had Richard Koop on. We had
Alan Amon.
We had Alan Amon, the creation guy. Yeah. So that's kind of what we do with this. So we thought it would be good to check in. It's funny because so here's the predicament we're in. We talk to people who are like, hey, I listen every week. It's great. And we always say, oh, awesome. Do you have any ideas for podcasts? And it's like cricket. No, you know what? Whatever you guys do, it's just really good.
What you guys are doing is good. Keep it up.
Huh? We even posted on our Facebook thing like, hey, we're trying to reboot this thing and comment below topics or questions you have. And people liked it and shared it. I'm like, no, you're missing the point. So if that was you, you know who you are. So today we thought it would just be good to kind of maybe check in with what's been going on with the church in our own lives. What has God been doing? What are we seeing God do in our ministry? And then just kind of, yeah, update people on where are we at as a church? Why was it so long since you recorded a podcast? And so just to kind of jump back into it and just update people. And then we're hoping to continue to kind of record these every week if you give us things to talk about. I mean, we could talk about all sorts of things, but we want to actually make it beneficial. So one of the reasons that we haven't recorded for 10 weeks or so, I was gone for 6 weeks, and I'll get into that in a minute. Went to Zambia for 3 weeks and then some vacation after that. But I don't know, Don, I want to start with you. What has been going on in your ministry? What's exciting in your ministry right now? What kind of stuff is God doing? Yeah, I'm just going to let you talk. If you don't know, Don is our associate pastor. He oversees youth and young adults and other duties as assigned. So I don't know. What's been going on? What's God been doing?
Whew.
I know, right?
You only got how much time?
You only have 4 hours.
Wow. I was only prepared for 10 minutes.
No, that's just on Sunday mornings.
While Andrew was gone, I had a few more opportunities to preach in Matthew. So
yeah.
That was really good.
So what passages did you have specifically?
Specifically, I did a passage on Peter walking on the water. That was really good because Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. And we looked at the 4 or 5 places where that phrase is, oh, you have little faith, and just the kind of theme that Matthew was getting at. And I know Andrew unpacked that more this last week on the lens of faith as opposed to faith as a muscle, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it was really good, that passage. And then I looked at the passage where Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. And then we looked at Jesus telling Peter that you're the rock, and that they were going to get the keys to the kingdom. They were going to bind and loose. And that was just really good to wrestle through that.
Wow.
What was the other passage?
You did 3 while I was gone?
I think one just before.
Oh, the Canaanite woman.
The Canaanite woman, yes. The faith of the Canaanite woman.
Yes.
That was super because it just seemed like such a random passage in the middle of everything, but it was just a key passage on what does faith in Jesus look like, and the faith of the Canaanite woman just was it. That's why Jesus told her that she had great faith. And that was, so for me personally, it was so good to study those three passages, and just even the last many passages in Matthew have just really laid out what faith is, what it's not, and we have so much confusion often around that. And for me personally, just to build that faith and just to understand, Matthew, he just does such a great job.
Yeah.
Because it sometimes seems so random when he puts things where he does, but when you study it, it's so intentional and so key to understanding what this new kingdom Jesus is introducing is all about. And the more you understand that, the more Jesus just gets lifted higher and higher.
Yeah.
And to understand what following him is.
Oh, that's good.
And that was so good. And yeah, the other guys that preached as well, they did a fabulous job. And so, yeah, going through Matthew has been really good. Our young adult ministry is really in a good place. We have 35 plus coming out. And yeah, several of them have been discipled, whether in the young adults group or by others. And we're going to be excited to hopefully baptize a number of them.
That's awesome.
In the near future. So some of the young adults are just really growing in their faith as well. And the community is just really fun to be a part of right now. They want to learn. They're really connecting with each other. We've had several from out of town come in for work.
Okay,
so they were just looking around on Facebook for a young adult group to connect with, and they ended up with us. So even going for, I try to go for coffee with all these new people and connect with them, and that was just really encouraging, is especially a handful of young guys that are really keen on wanting to grow and be godly men, and they say it's challenging, but so it's so good to hear that there's this desire to want to grow and to be authentic believers in this culture we live in, which is very challenging at times.
Yeah.
So that's been good.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite age groups to work with is young adults. And I mean, I'm still kind of, I'm 31 now, so I'm out of it.
Edge.
Isn't it 25 is the edge?
I think
30. Let's say 30. So I'm just out of...
Apparently 25 is when like your brain actually kicks in.
When you're not probably a dum-dum.
Because that's when they start renting cars to you and all that.
Yeah.
So we kind of give them 3 years, 28-ish, to kind of move out of that young adult
state. Get your life together. But I did young adult ministry at the last church, and it was funny because I was still, like, I was 20. So we've been here almost 4 years, so 27, so 26. I was like 25, 26. So I was still a young adult doing young adult ministry. But man, it's the funnest age in my opinion, because it's like, it is super frustrating, locks, because they're wishy-washy and they're like, I want to go to everything, so I'm going to bail on all these other things. But they just have great ideas. They want to follow Jesus. Like we started with our young adults group tailgating before church, because they were like, you know how at like football games people show up and they're so excited and they like tailgate? Can we do that on Sundays before church? I was like, totally. So we had a group of like 15 young adults and a guy on his truck, and he brought his camping stoves, and we made breakfast sandwiches, listening to worship music, tailgating before church, like just stuff like that. I'm like, oh man, I love young adults. They just have great ideas. So anyway, sorry, I totally interrupted.
Yeah, no, but that's kind of where we're at. I mean, at times it can be pretty wishy-washy. I mean, that's one of the things that I marvel is that for young adults, there's 35, but there's seldom the same 35. Like if they all came, it would be, whoa, where do we put all these people?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a revolving door with work and other commitments.
Yeah, totally.
But there's always this, I don't know, they seem to want to always meet at some place to connect again and then be encouraged and head out again.
Yeah.
So that's been very fun. We just finished our Conquer series, which is discipling guys through this whole area of pornography, sexual issues, and We were very encouraged. It's a 10-week program, and we had 10 guys come out and a number of young men coming out. So that is so encouraging when you have young men who are, they, Lord willing, they want to get married someday, but they know we need to wrestle with this and deal with this whole thing.
Yep.
And so for them to come and say, "No, I'm not in such a great place and I know I need some help," and for them to be that vulnerable to come and say, "Hey, this area is somewhere I'm struggling and I need some help," and, you know, scared to come.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is that after the 10 weeks, they're so glad they did, and they're so glad the connections they made. And now we're doing some ongoing follow-up with these guys. And so we're so encouraged that there are young men. And yeah, there's some young married men as well who, to one degree or another, are wanting to deal with this. So for them to come out and say, I don't care anymore what someone might think, I want to come here.
Yeah.
I want to be a man of integrity and I want to tackle this. So that was super encouraging. So
that's
where
awesome.
Else are we at?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we got some sticky issues that we're dealing with folks, and we're hoping we can move forward. That I guess one thing with the Matthew series is what's really been resonating with me is the need to preach the truth of the gospel and to be relentless with that. And I guess that's one thing that's come clear in the last couple months is that there's so many voices that want to take us away from the truth of the gospel and to not preach the gospel even.
Totally.
And so for me, just that reminder to preach the gospel, to preach God's word. Yeah. I don't have to add to it or help God out. He's just saying, preach my word, preach the truth, give me something to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So that's really been resonating with me, just that need to, as a pastor, you're looking after a flock, and that's a huge responsibility. And one of the responsibilities is to make sure that the truth is being preached and to protect your people from error and from things that aren't from scripture. So I guess that's something that's really been.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue because that same thing has been kind of rolling around in my mind, and it fit perfectly because it just came up lots in Africa. See how I did that? I'm really good at this.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the gospel, and then we just steer the car somewhere.
You're the boss.
That's why I get paid $500,000. Just kidding. But yeah, like, so we went to Zambia, and we're sharing this Sunday in the afternoon. So I won't give, like, here's everything that happened, because come out tomorrow, Sunday afternoon. But yeah, we went specifically to visit our sister church, and then, you know, we're in Zambia. So we said, well, we have missionaries here. We've traveled thousands of miles. Let's visit them too. So we kind of did a two-part trip. So 5 days, we went to one village and visited Dorothy and Lucky, our missionaries, and then we drove 10 hours to a different village, and that's where our sister church is. But we knew that we were coming into, like, tons of ministry opportunities. It's funny, if you saw Pastor Kalonga's email, it was like, here's, like, the 80 things, ideas that I have in my mind that you can do, and we're like, oh, boy. So we knew that there was going to be men's meetings and women's meetings and kids stuff. And I, you know, I knew I had an opportunity to speak to their elders and their men's group, and the pastors in all of Mongu were going to come together. And he said there could be up to 50 pastors that you can just teach us about something. I'm like, oh, wow. And just visiting and, like, learning how they did ministry. But, the thing that so, like, resonated with me, you know, if people ask what was the biggest takeaway, it's exactly what you're saying. Like, here or there, it's the gospel has to be preached. And it just reminded me of Romans 1:16. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And so it's, what is the power of God for salvation? Well, it's the gospel. And so I've been saying that lots and believing that for North America, like, and you said it perfectly. Why do churches like try and, you know, buy lights? Don always rags on me about the lights that we buy. Or like, let's come up with a.
Well, yeah, you should see his room. There's like 10 lights on the floor there.
It's for ministry. It's ministry. But the, you know, churches that are, let's come up with some fancy sermon series about, and you know, about the newest popular book that comes out by the big name speaker, like, oh, and I'm not going to give examples because I'm going to offend people, but like, you know, oh, let's do 40 days of purpose or, you know, just walk across the room or all these devotional books. Let's preach on that. And I am just so, no, like, there's no power in that. The power is in the gospel. So we went to Africa, and you know, you have this romanticized view of Christianity in Africa. We're told Zambia is a Christian nation, and you see videos or whatever online, and people in church, they're there for like 4 hours and they're dancing and they're just like, oh man, they just must love Jesus so much. But talking with pastors over there, they deal with the exact same thing. They're like, people just are drawn to not the gospel, all these other things. And it's hard to like get people involved. Like they talked about life groups, which made me laugh. They're like, yeah, no one will join our life groups. They say they're too busy. I'm like, that happens in Fort St. John. And like no one wants to be like real disciples of Jesus. It's just wishy-washy. And then talking with pastors, they're like, yeah, and so many churches in Africa are just preaching just nonsense. And he said, you know, they're focusing on health and wealth, and they'll have services where, you know, we're going to have a whole service dedicated to casting out demons and priorities. Like, and like, don't get me wrong, that can totally happen. But then it's like the focus is, let's not preach Jesus, just come and we'll slay you in the spirit over and over and over again. And they're preaching, you know, follow Jesus so that your crops don't die and that you don't have miscarriages and your pigs will be healthy and all of these kind of things. And talking with pastors over there, you can almost sense like a heartbrokenness from some of the pastors I talked to going, man, people are just buying into nonsense. So it was like, whoa, it's the exact same worldwide. People need the gospel. That's where the power is. And so it was really neat getting opportunities to preach and to teach. Really enjoyed meeting with the pastors. There was only about 12 or 13 that actually ended up coming for whatever reason. I just really hammered them. It was just about like, what is the point of our churches? And I like, what is the goal? And I used Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I got it.
Every pub closed. Go eat popcorn.
No, I like that one better. I'm like, what? We have to close the pubs? But Paul says, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I think he's telling us what the point of church is. He says, you know, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. And then later on, he says, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So I was challenging these pastors, don't go off on these rabbit trails. Does God heal people? Sure. Can demons be cast out? Sure. But I said, the point of your churches is that you would make the word of God fully known. So you're to preach the whole counsel of God. And why? So that people become mature. And it was just neat seeing they were getting it. And these are guys that are doing this already, but they just said like, oh, it was just such a good reminder. It's tempting when you see, ooh, the new apostolic church down the road is booming and busting at the seams because they're just preaching nonsense. And my church is just tiny, but I'm like, don't buy into that other stuff. So that was really cool. That was one of the highlights for me. Just getting being able to encourage some pastors over there. The other really cool part was they're very much like fly by the seat of your pants. You just got to be ready at a moment's notice to like preach or share. So there was a couple of times when I'm going to say I was tricked into tricked into sharing because it was like, oh, we're going to go to this youth rally just to observe it. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So I brought my Bible, but I had a Kindle that I brought with me loaded with like 50 sermons. But I'm like, well, we're just going to observe, so I'm just going to leave that behind. Foolish. So we get there and there's 150 teens and they're dancing and they're singing. And then the leader of the youth network's like, all right, now the pastor from Canada is going to preach.
Thought we were observing.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, so I'm praying. Okay, God, give me a fresh word. Just kidding. Not a fresh word, but it was neat. I'll tell you what, I'm a guy that if you ever come on Sundays and you're wondering, like, how does Andrew preach? I type out everything I'm going to say, like full manuscript, everything. I like having that because it's my little security blanket. Like, I don't read it, but I just like having in case I forget. So now I've got nothing. And he's like, all right, we're just going to pray. And then the pastor from Canada is going to preach. So I'm like praying, okay, God, like, I got nothing. And it was neat because then all of a sudden it was like God said, John 15. Hmm. So, you know, you joke about a fresh word, but it was kind of like Jesus said, tell them about abiding in me. Hmm. So I was like, okay. So, and I am not a off the cuff preacher. I don't do that, but it was neat because, they really connected with that. And, you know, we did the whole, you have to abide in Jesus. What does it look like to abide in Jesus? And then what is the fruit that we bear when we do that? And, it was just neat. That was a cool opportunity. And so then I'm like, you think I would have learned, but we're going to go to just a village experience. We're going to drive out because Mongu is like, you know, a city, if you want to call it that. But there's all these little villages where people literally live in grass huts and sleep on the dirt. So Pastor Kalong is like, we're going to go to a village just to like have a village experience, just to observe. And again, I'm like, I'm an idiot. So I leave my Kindle behind and I just have my Bible. And we get to this village and all the villagers come running. They're so excited. They have this little mud church with a tin roof and we all go in and they're singing and they're like just so excited that there's like – because you have to – understand like if you're white, you're the minority. So it's just kind of like this huge spectacle like, whoa, there's white people here. So then they're singing and introducing themselves and then – and yet again – okay, what do you have for us, Pastor Andrew? So the same thing. I'm like, okay, Jesus, like I got nothing. And then it was just like Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus. He humbled himself. Now he's exalted. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form. So I was like, okay. So I kind of like gave this sermon and I had a translator, which is really interesting. I've only preached once with a translator, but it's hard because you say a sentence and then you have to wait for him to like
remember where you're at.
Yeah. But actually in this point it was good because then I could think about what am I going to say next? He's going to stop speaking soon. So I'm like, we're going to be in Philippians 2 and he's notes talking. I'm like, okay, what am I going to say next? Let's read it together. It was totally like moment by moment. Okay, as soon as he's done saying his, I got to say something. But it was neat. God used it, I think. And a few of them had their phones out recording it. So it was just cool. It was a neat experience. So that was neat being in Africa for 3 weeks. Won't share anymore because just come.
There's your teaser for Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon. We'll have pictures and videos and you'll hear from the whole team that went. But that, I think, was the main thing that I just so stuck out to me that, yeah, Zambia can say they're a Christian nation, but they need the gospel just as much as we do. And the temptation to water it down is just as evident there as here. So it was just such a good reminder that wherever you are in the world, that Romans 1:16 doesn't change. That's still the power of God for salvation. So it was just a really good, that's the thing that stuck out to me the most, I guess. Yeah. What else do we want to talk about?
Well, you were going to update us a little bit about our vision there, AGM.
Yeah. Yes. I wonder if people are even going to listen to this. I'm having fun.
Are they going to get anywhere?
This is why you need to email us your questions, people.
Otherwise, we're going to ramble.
Yeah, just to update in case, you know, you've maybe have been coming to our church and you've heard this talk of multiplying and a vision, like where are we at with that? We kind of in the last 6 or 8 months, really wrestled through, okay, God, what is that next step? So we actually are looking at planting a campus here in Fort St. John, a sister kind of, no, like a mother-daughter church relationship. So we would be the main campus here, and we would have a second campus in town. And some of the next steps for that is we, you know, drew a line and said Easter 2020. By Easter 2020, we want to launch a campus service somewhere in town. So it was kind of like, oh, man, it's real now. That's like a date. We're shooting for that. And then the next step was, okay, we need to hire a campus pastor who's going to be the shepherd of that congregation and who will be training people and kind of overseeing the shepherding and the discipleship over there. And we want to hire a worship director who can take some stuff off of some of the creative, you know, media Sunday morning stuff that happens off of my plate and just bring consistency and excellence to what we do. And so we had our AGM, and it was funny. It was one of those like, yeah, this is a vision that God's given, you know, myself and the elders, and we're all in unison going, yes, we believe this is where God is calling us. But the church still votes on it because we're a democracy or whatever you want to call it. I don't just say this is where we're going, deal with it. So that Thursday night, it was kind of like, I hope they won. I hope we've heard God correctly. Because I honestly, candidly, that afternoon I had like a, not a panic attack, but like, what happens if they say no? Do I resign? Is that like a vote of no confidence in me? Should I like go to McDonald's and
flip? Turmoil.
It was. I was like, okay, God, I'm just trusting that if we've heard correctly, and it was neat. It was passed with a majority vote. And we had a great discussion. There are some like fears of like, oh man, this is a huge step. This costs more money. This costs our time and our effort, and we're hiring people and just all these swirling like, what if the economy tanks? What if we don't have enough money? What if nobody comes? And so, you know, we just candidly said, yeah, we feel those same like fears and nervousness, but if God is in this, like he's going to do it, he will build his church. So that's where we're at. We're finalizing job descriptions this week. And we're going to start a search for a campus pastor and a worship director and going, okay, God, we're trusting that you want us to plant a campus somewhere in town.
Wow.
Woo. So, yeah, I don't know, Don, if you want to comment on that or, like, what are your feelings behind this? Are you going, like...
Well, I think it was good for us to say that, yeah, we as leadership are also have our fears and all that, too. But, yeah, I think there's this confidence that if this is from God, he's going to open doors as we move forward. And I'm quite excited about what that's going to look like because we have... You know, the city is 20,000. We have 14,000 or whatever that need to be reached. And and what's that going to look like? It's not going to look like what we're doing here. And so I guess that part gets me excited. Like, how's God going to reach into this community?
Yep.
And what's that going to look like? And it's kind of similar to where I'm at with our senior youth group. We're just praying for this next year as we have our next wave of youth coming up, Generation Z, if you want to call it, if you're familiar with that term, and how do we reach these people? And it's going to look very different from, you know, even 5 years ago or whatever, just, but to pray, how do we meet that challenge? And so that's kind of the exciting part of moving into this, what this campus pastor is going to look like and where, you know, they're going to end up reaching into and what God wants to do, because God's deeply concerned to reach Fort St. John.
Totally.
And when he, you know, calls whoever this person is and some people from our church and where that's going to end up and what it's going to look like, it's kind of exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited too. It's neat because like lots of people think that, you know, that kind of stuff, that's not going to work in rural Canada, because there really is no, I mean, I shouldn't say there's no. There's a few examples of this working in rural Canada, but you think when you think, you know, multi-site campus stuff, you automatically, I do, think Toronto, Vancouver, yeah. Calgary, all these big urban centers. So it, for me, it's exciting going, why can't that work here? Why wouldn't that work? Let's try it. And it's just exciting seeing our church, yes, have nerves and they're asking questions and maybe there's still some skepticism going, I don't know. But there's this level of faith and a willingness to just try stuff, mm-hmm. which I really love about this these people here. That there was at the AGM, there was in all of our discussion, yes, there was so there was valid questions and just like practical stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, how's the preaching going to work? What night or what day are they going to have church on? And you know, where are they going to meet? And how are they going to do kids? Like just stuff that you go, yeah, we don't know that yet. Yeah. But there was just this sense of excitement, like, yeah, I think God is doing something. And that is, that just trumps my, like, I don't have anxiety about it, but it just trumps my swirling questions mm-hmm. and fears and stuff like that. Because it's just like, I think God is up to something, that he's stirring in people's hearts, that it, we want to see lost people saved. I don't want to just sit around for 10 years and not do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, let's try stuff and let's be creative and let's see, and we've seen lost people saved in the past, you know, year, which is really cool. That's the exciting part. And I think when that happens, it re-energizes sleepy Christians that maybe are like, that's cool. That's exciting. Like I want in on that. So that's super exciting. So we maybe won't go any longer because people are like, why are you reminiscing about stuff? Oh man, we just thought you needed a window into what's been going yeah. on, and we've missed you as our listeners. So, just exciting stuff that's happening around the world. Really, it was mm-hmm. neat seeing God doing stuff in Zambia. It's exciting seeing, how God works in different parts of the world, and yet the same gospel that we have. So before we end, I will say again, as a plug, if you are a listener and you enjoy this podcast, really, I mean, we've done 70 of them and we've covered a lot of stuff, but we really want to make this as practical as possible. So if you are listening and you're going, hey, I'm dealing with marriage issues or kids or work or faith stuff or this Bible passage that I don't understand or whatever it is, please email us, andrew@npmbchurch.com or don@npmbchurch.com, or you can look up North Peace MB Church on Facebook and message the page and we'll answer your questions. And there's no like question that we go, yeah, we're not, like, if you look back at some of the stuff we've talked about, we're not shy to talk about stuff. So really, and we'll keep it anonymous. If you're like, I don't want people to know I'm wrestling with this, they won't. We won't say your name or anything like that. But we do. We really want to make this as practical and helpful as possible. So please email us your questions or topics that you want us to tackle, and hopefully we'll have one for next week. So yeah, that is it for us today. God bless you, and we're signing off till next week.